Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Shame on the Cleveland Browns. That's where I'm starting tonight from this standpoint. That doesn't mean I don't think Kareem Hunt deserves another opportunity. I do. People deserve a second chance. I just think it's way too soon. There's still an NFL investigation and suspension that's coming. Why can't you wait for that to happen? This sounds like a desperate team trying to get the jump the same way the Washington Redskins did the same exact thing by jumping the gun. All I'm saying is let him think about what he did. Take a little more time. Let the process play out. Let the NFL do their investigation, finish it. He's on the exempt list. What is the rush to grab somebody on the exempt list? And this is where, when you look at organizations, there are good ones and bad ones, and this is a move that, like the Cincinnati Bengals did the same thing with Joe Mixon. This is what bad organizations do. They jump the gun because they're so desperate to try to win and get a leg up. I get it. You haven't won jack. You think you got something going, you got a roster. Kareem Hunt's a good player, Chris. I'll be the first one to tell you that. Right. And does he deserve another chance? Absolutely. I'm not one of those one and done. There's the reason why they put erasers on pencils. You know why? Because people make mistakes. And even a bad one, which that was. But there's no reason to jump the gun. It's and you know what? There's another one. It's just a little different with the Patriots, if you remember. Aaron Hernandez, they claimed they were duped, right? They weren't duped. He was on the do not draft list because of all the gang activity right. And all the stuff. And they went out and they thought, we're going to get this guy who's a really good player and he'll come to the Patriots or whatever. And what did he wind up doing? Wound up, all right, killing a man.
That's obviously an extreme.
No, extreme, but I'm just saying this is one of those where you jump the gun and – I hate to use that term, but you know what I mean. You went and tried to think you were beating the system, and that's what the Cleveland Browns are doing here. They want a guy that we know is a good player. I don't know if the 3 months that he's been off and he's already claimed by a team, he has to feel vindicated almost, like, oh, that wasn't bad. You know what? They came. They couldn't resist me no matter what I did. So from that standpoint, I'm disappointed in the Browns the same way I was disappointed in Washington when they did what they did. Kareem Hunt, we'll wait to see what the league, how it plays out. If he's suspended for 6 games, 8 games, a year, I don't know what he's going to get.
Right.
And then we'll go from there. So I don't want people to think that I'm a guy who doesn't believe in second chances, because I do. I just think this is premature. Shame on the Cleveland Browns.
Look, I respect your viewpoint. This is such a sensitive topic. You know, I'm not going to press back on what you feel. But I don't have a problem with it. I think that Kareem Hunt, as you said, certainly deserves a second chance. What he did was terrible. But I also think he's already been punished to some degree. He was cut. He didn't get paid for those last 5 games. He was cut, and he obviously missed the playoffs as well. And then he's going to likely have more suspension coming, maybe a 6 games or whatever. I don't think the Cleveland Browns are desperate, because they got Nick Chubb, who had almost 1,000-yard rusher. He had a great rookie season. So it's not like – I mean, obviously Kareem's a good player. They want to go with the two backs. I get that.
Kareem was the best running back 2 years, rookie year.
He had a great year. But we said this before. As soon as the news came out, we both said – and I remember saying strongly – the Chiefs should suspend him for the rest of the season. And then an hour or so later, they came out and cut him.
Yeah, but I think
I felt cut. Like, honestly, I look back, I think the Chiefs should have just suspended him for the rest of the season.
You know why I disagree with that?
And they could have brought him back.
Because they went to bat for him, and he lied to them.
But of course he lied to him. Because most people in that situation, when you get caught doing something – and you think you can get out of it,
no,
you're gonna. I hate to say it, but most people are gonna lie. Especially
I understand
a young kid
that,
like that.
But when somebody backs you, you know what I mean, and is putting their reputation on the line, just come clean with me.
I get what they did.
Let's try to work this out. But you can't have me look like a fool holding the bag at the end, going, "Oh well, that's not what he told us." And now here's video that totally contradicts everything that he says, so you feel like a fool.
But
that's why they caught bait.
We got a league where Ezekiel Elliott is playing. He served his 6-game suspension. You know, the reports are that it was stuff really went on. We don't have video, though.
No, we don't.
But we do have video of Joe Mixon knocking a girl out at Oklahoma, and he's in the league. He's the fourth leading rusher in the league this season. So it's not like guys – who have had these issues aren't getting second chances. I like the fact, and I know, look, I totally believe that Kareem Hunt is, at least initially, his remorse was from the fact he got caught.
Yes.
It wasn't because of
what
happened. You know, it was like, I got caught.
You red-handed on tape.
Like,
what you going to say,
now
Chris?
Now I'm cut. My career is in jeopardy.
Right.
That's where it stems
and you
from.
And you got to live with that.
Right.
That's videotape that people will always see. It's like, Joe Mixon can go on and be the fourth leading rusher, but don't kid yourself. That video will follow you and haunt you for a long time.
Yeah, no question about it. But I think Kareem, look, as it was read, the statement from John Dorsey, he's gone to counseling, and, you know, you give him a second chance. If he screws up again, all the reports, all that led up to was that he was a decent guy, you know, and this was, they said it was out of character. So, and I also believe, Rob, that punishment is a good deterrent. And social shame or social stigma is a good deterrent. You know, and I think that the shame that he's gone through for doing this and the shame he would go through, which would be even worse if he did something like it again, I think is a good deterrent. So that's why I think, look, you know, he's going to get more suspension probably from the league. But I really don't have a problem with the Browns doing it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
One of our favorite NBA analysts joins us next. He is the NBA champion with the San Antonio Spurs a few years ago. Also a Fox Sports NBA analyst. You can follow him on Twitter at adaniels33. It's none other than Antonio Daniels. Antonio, what's happening, man?
What's happening?
Welcome to The Odd Couple.
Chris, Rob, what's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
Great.
Man?
How are
great,
you?
Great, man.
I'm awesome, man.
Good.
Awesome.
Hey, let's get right to it. We're going to get into some OKC stuff a little later. But first, Magic Johnson, he's under investigation again for tampering with Ben Simmons. And let me ask you this. Are the Sixers, because obviously, you know, you see the similarities between Magic and Ben, and you know some of the things Magic could probably teach him. Are the Sixers making a mistake, or are they doing the right thing by shutting that down?
They're doing the right thing. You can see the similarities between Magic and Ben, but you can also see the similarities between LeBron's agent and Anthony Davis's agent and Ben Simmons' agent, which I think is the most important thing. If you are Elton Brand, the Philadelphia 76ers, the most important thing is holding on to that asset, which is Ben Simmons. Listen, think about it like, okay, I would love to think that everybody in the world has the right heart. And Magic Johnson has basically said, you know what, I do want to help Ben Simmons become a better point guard. I do want to help him learn what it's like to make reads at 6'9" and 6'10", what it's like to run a team. But if you're Elton Brand, you can't afford to think that way.
Right.
You know, that's tough, man. You know, I don't know where your thought process is as far as trying to get Ben Simmons away, but you also understand that Ben Simmons has the same agent as LeBron James, who has the same agent as Anthony Davis. And everything that just went on with Anthony Davis, now I'm going to go ahead and hold on to Ben Simmons. I am not going to sign off on that. We will work with Ben Simmons in the offseason of Philadelphia and see what we can get done.
And they have it's not like Magic doesn't have a history of tampering. You know
exactly.
What I'm saying?
I didn't want to say it, so I let you say it, Chris. Yeah.
Hey, Antonio, speaking of that whole situation with AD, I mean, it seems a little crazy, Magic saying that the Pelicans didn't bargain in good faith, although they never returned a call or never got back to him. I think it was pretty obvious that they weren't interested in making a deal. Do you buy the Pelicans didn't act in good faith?
Well, I don't. I mean, realistically, I don't know what that means.
Right.
You know, I don't. What does acting in good faith mean? Like, what does that mean? I can't answer that question. Obviously, the Pelicans did not want to get a deal done, and I think the reason that they didn't counteroffer is because once you counteroffer, all the Lakers have to do is say, "Okay, we'll take it."
Right. That's what I mean, So that's why I don't understand, like, when you say they didn't bargain in good faith. If I never call you
back.
They didn't lead you on.
Right. Exactly. You know? It's not like they said, you know what, listen, we'll talk about this tomorrow and maybe we can get a deal done. You can throw everybody on your roster out there, and it's my choice as an organization because maybe I felt like I was put in a bad position. Maybe I felt like going public 10 days before the deadline where it was obvious that the Lakers would be the front runners. Maybe I didn't like that. Maybe I didn't like the fact that the Lakers and Magic Johnson were fined for tampering a while back with Anthony Davis. So I can understand where the Pelicans were coming from, and maybe it's just the fact that the Pelicans thought, you know what, why do we need to trade Anthony Davis now with the same deal that you're offering here will be here in the summertime.
Did Magic and Rob Pelinka come off as inexperienced that it was, you know, put out there that they were willing to trade the entire team? It seemed like that's not where you want that to go. You know what I mean? Where everybody on the roster knows that they're expendable and LeBron doesn't want them. Did they make a mistake with that leaking out?
You know what was weird to me is about the whole Anthony Davis trade saga with the timing. That's the part that I didn't understand. I can understand a guy saying, look, I'm not pleased here, and I don't want to play here anymore. I get that. That's your right as an athlete. But the timing of it all, when you are a top player in this league, it's tough to ask for a trade 10 days before the deadline without being certain of a landing spot. Kyrie Irving, he asked for a trade in the summer. Kawhi Leonard asked for a trade in the summer because it's easier to get done in the summer, and you're not around your teammates. If by some chance you don't get traded, now you're not forced to be in the situation you're in right now.
Which
is basically coming back into that locker room and looking at everybody that you told you guys aren't good enough to win with.
Right, and here's the reason I asked that question too. The Porzingis trade came out of nowhere. Like nobody,
right.
You know what I mean? Like you didn't hear any rumors, and then boom, it's a trade. That's what I mean. That's the way you probably want to handle it because he asked out, but nobody knew.
Right.
Because usually trades in this league happen in silence. They usually happen in silence. Like, usually when there's, like, a whole lot of talk about something, I heard this guy, man, I heard it never happened. It's usually when you don't hear anything about it, and you just get a notification on your phone. Like, hey, this guy's been traded. Like, oh, shoot. Like, he got moved. Because trades usually happen in silence. Like, those loud, where it's, like, a lot of noise about trades and so on and so forth. A lot of times, those trades rarely happen.
It's the iCouple. We're joined by NBA champion Antonio Daniels. Antonio, you know, look, on the one hand, I like and respect, player empowerment and all of that. But has this gone too far, or are we darn close to this going too far with these guys wanting to put these teams together on their own? Or are you fine with the direction that it seems to be headed?
Being a former player, I'm okay with it. But here's my thing. Okay, so a team can trade you if they feel like you're not living up to your potential, regardless as to how much you have left on your contract, right? So if I have a year and a half left on my contract, and the team is like, you know what, we're not getting out of Antonio what we want out of him. Let's move him elsewhere.
Right.
There's no issue with that. Why can't a player have that same thought process?
Right.
Well, but here's my only thing, though.
I'm in agreement with that.
I totally disagree because there's a thing called some sort of competitive balance and trying to have a semblance of a league, not just two or three teams. And here's the other problem, Antonio. If that's the case, then there shouldn't be a draft. Anybody should just go play wherever they want. And the reason there's a draft is to try to balance out the players and have some sort of competition. Otherwise, what do you have?
Hold on, Rob. Here's my thing, though. But I feel like we throw the term super team around a lot. Just because two guys choose to play together, that doesn't make them a super team. Example, if LeBron James and Anthony Davis would have teamed up, would that automatically make them a championship team if they would have gutted their entire roster?
No.
Yeah, but we have a team now that has five All-Stars that are going to the finals for the fifth time.
That's different, though. No. That's different because three of those All-Stars, they drafted.
No, I know, but when they added the other players, that's what changed everything. And I'm not – dude, they didn't break any rules.
Right.
But I'm talking about there hasn't been a team to go to the NBA Finals 5 years in a row since the 60s. And that's all I'm saying, that – it's fine for the people who are Warriors fans and a couple other teams, but other than that, the rest of the NBA America, you can see it in some of the numbers.
But
there's no competition.
Here's the thing, Rob, with player empowerment, if this summer goes as many people kind of think it will, and that'll be players talking to each other and right? If Kyrie and Durant decide to team up in New York and AD does get traded to the Lakers – and Kawhi Leonard goes, whether he stays in Toronto or goes to the Clippers, like all of a sudden you could, and that'll dip, if Durant leaves, that depletes the Warriors, but they'll still be
for
a contender.
Sure.
Like you could be talking about seven teams or so that are all at the same contending level, you know? So Durant just threw everything off because he's so good and he went to such a good team.
But see, here's the thing, though. A lot of times we punish teams by saying what you said, Rob, for thinking proactively. You know what I mean? Like Boogie Cousins, there are other people out there that maybe could have made a run at Boogie Cousins. Maybe they'd offer them more money, but they chose not to. There are a lot of other teams that could have drafted Draymond Green. There were other teams that could have drafted Klay Thompson. They chose not to. So it's tough to kind of to punish the Golden State Warriors for thinking proactively. I get the thought process. You know, okay, you know, Golden State's going to win every year. I completely understand that. And I agree with what Christian said 100%. All it takes is one guy to walk away. If Kevin Durant walks away and goes elsewhere, we're not having this conversation anymore.
Right.
This is a conversation that's in the past. Now we're talking about other teams that are being put together to compete with the Golden State Warriors. You take Boogie Cousins off that team because he gets a max deal somewhere else. You take Kevin Durant off that team and hypothetically say he matches up with teams up with Kyrie Irving. Now you're just talking about those three guys. Those three guys now don't have that same threat without Kevin Durant and without DeMarcus Cousins when you match them up with the rest of this league.
Right. Antonio Daniels, great stuff, brother.
Appreciate you.
We look forward. You'll be joining us every week now during the season, and we're looking forward to that, man.
For sure. I appreciate it, fellas.
All right, brother. Have a great day. Appreciate it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
Bucky, welcome to
What's happening? The Odd Couple.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. What's going on?
It's great to have you on, man. Let's get right to the story of the day. Well, there's two stories of the day.
Yes.
I'm going to hit you first with the Kyler Murray. What did you think of his decision to choose football over baseball? And what do you think of his prospects as an NFL quarterback, first rounder, late rounds, and how good do you think he could be?
Oh, I thought it was a smart business decision based on everything that I knew about Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray is a big-time football player. He was a big-time football player in high school in the state of Texas. There are some in that state that would say he may have been the best high school player to ever play there. And so I knew that his affinity for football was deep. And then when you do look at the economics, I know so many people have been like, why would he give up $4.6 million playing baseball? He could be a $200 or $300 million baseball player. Well, the way that Kyler Murray probably looked at it, Lamar Jackson was the 32nd overall pick. Lamar Jackson was guaranteed about $8 million. At the worst, Kyler Murray was going to make $8 million guaranteed if he entered the draft. And even if he went to the second round, he would have to go below 36 to come out on the short end of the stick when it came to the money. I thought it was a wise decision for him to go in to play football because as a quarterback, I don't think there are four quarterbacks that are better than him And in fact, I've talked to some people who think he may be the first or second best quarterback in this draft. When you're hearing that kind of intel, you probably feel good about your chances of being a first round pick. I think Kyler Murray made a decision that is based on his opportunity to be a starting quarterback in the league and to eventually make a lot of money if he plays up to his potential.
You don't do not bother by his height. You think that it doesn't matter and they'll be able to work something out. There's not too many guys his height who have had much success in the NFL. Is that not a thing anymore, or he can overcome that?
Well, I mean, I think some teams are going to throw him off the board because he's not tall enough. Like, there's some teams that have those metrics where they won't take a quarterback that is below the 6-foot mark.
Right.
But I think the closest comp that you can have for him is Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson is 5'10" and some change. Kyler Murray will probably come in a little under 5'10". But when you look at Kyler Murray, I think when you're an undersized quarterback, a quarterback that doesn't necessarily check up all the boxes when it comes to size, you have to be exceptional in some areas. He's an exceptional athlete. He has A-plus arm talent. He is a guy who can wow you with the ball in his hands. I just believe the way the game is trending with these creative offensive coordinators. And remember, Cliff Kingsbury is a guy who had raved about Kyler Murray in October before he was fired from Texas Tech and landed in the league. I'm just saying that I think there are a couple of teams that believe this guy has big-time talent, and they're going to be willing to ignore the height deficiencies to try and take advantage of the electricity that he brings as a quarterback.
It's the iCouple. We are joined by FS1 NFL analyst Bucky Brooks. Bucky, 15 years ago, 10 years ago even, you know, Kyler Murray might not have been viewed as a good NFL prospect, but the way that the game has changed, I agree with you. I think his game really fits the way the NFL is kind of going. Why has the NFL shifted the way it has?
I think we're seeing more creativity in the National Football League. You're seeing more of these collegiate-type schemes and tactics kind of coming to the league. And when that stuff happens, I think it just makes it very, very easy to look at a Kyler Murray and say, you know what, I think Kyler Murray can play in this style of offense. Now, what you have to determine is Kyler Murray's been a one-year starter. He doesn't have a lot of experience at the position. Where do you fit him? Where do you slot him? I think there's just so many creative offensive minds and so many young guys that are excited about doing some of the RPOs and some of the other stuff that we see on Saturdays that Kyler Murray is going to be too enticing to pass up on. I just think it's the right time. It's the perfect storm. The league is trending offensive. I think he is a guy that can give an offensive coordinator a lot of things to add to his offense.
You like, how surprised were you that Kareem Hunt was picked up by the Browns, even though he's still on the exempt list and has a suspension for coming from the league?
Not surprised at all. Didn't surprise me one iota. I expected him to get picked up. I knew after time would pass that some team would be willing to kind of talk themselves into saying, like, look, we can excuse the character, we can find a way to rehab him and the like. And I think with John Dorsey, he found a willing partner because John Dorsey was the guy that drafted him. And so people will talk about it and wonder, how could they make this move? But I think John Dorsey is confident that he won't have any other situations, and he's willing to kind of put his neck on the line for it. And so we'll just see. But remember, John Dorsey took Tyreek Hill when Tyreek Hill had some issues. Tyreek Hill hasn't had another misstep again in the city. So maybe this is a risk-reward play by the Cleveland Browns to see if they can kind of find a Pro Bowl running back to add to their roster at really a minimum cost.
Do you know much about Kareem Hunt, his character, or what type of kind of person he is, you know, outside of that incident, obviously?
No, I didn't know much about it, but I did hear from scouts that there were some issues that they were a little concerned about prior to his draft. But I think the big thing is he has to show people that he can take care of himself away from the field. He has to be in a situation where he has to understand, like, no more strikes. Like, if he messes up, you have to be able to part ways with him. The thing that you wonder, I think he's from that Cleveland area.
He is, yeah.
Maybe they felt like they could slide him in with minimal fanfare and disruption because he's a hometown hero. And we'll see. We'll see how that plays out.
Sometimes, Bucky, being at home isn't always the best thing.
No, it's not always the best thing, you know. And I think many players will tell you it's tough to get away from the crew. The thing that I would wonder about, and I think You know, they said they did an extensive investigation or whatever. Who are the people that are in his crew? And what kind of influence do they have on him? Obviously, when you look at the video, they didn't have the ability to kind of pull him away from the situation. They didn't seem like they could control him nor manage his anger. So I think all of those things needed to be vetted out before they made a decision. But obviously, John Dorsey and the Cleveland Browns feel good about the information they got, and they're willing to take the public backlash that comes along with taking him based on the things that we saw on the video.
Bucky, did you watch any of the Alliance of American Football games? And even if you haven't, what you've heard about it, what are your thoughts on that and their debut weekend?
You know, I looked at it, and I actually thought it was a solid product. I think the thing that everyone around football wants is a way to replicate what they had when NFL Europe existed. Teams, coaches, executives, they want a place where they can develop their players in the offseason, particularly offensive linemen and quarterbacks. The Alliance League gives those guys an opportunity to get live game reps, to really develop, get better at their craft, and give themselves an opportunity to maybe play longer in the National Football League. I think it's a great thing because it develops not only the players on the field, but the coaches on the sideline. You have some young coaches that get an opportunity to maybe ascend to coordinator positions to prepare themselves to go into the league. And then the officials. We are at a crisis when it comes to the officiating in the National Football League. You don't have enough officials when you have all these guys retiring. Now you can put them in an accelerated plan to get officials ready to really officiate at the National Football League level. This is a win-win for all of the parties involved.
Bucky, real quick, you got 30 seconds. I'm not a ageist, but are some of the officials too old, or do they need to get some younger guys who could keep up with the players? I keep wondering about that. Like, I just sometimes I think that the referees don't match the players.
I think there's something to be said for that. I mean, Rob, like, it's tough. The game is moving at a million miles an hour, and it's hard for those guys to keep up. And so you do want to get some younger guys in there. But when you're transitioning in some of the young officials,
right. You
have to be willing to live with the mistakes. And I think the public has to be a little more tolerant of some of the mistakes that may happen. There's the human element when it comes to officiating these games. There are going to be some errors that occur, and we have to say that that is part of the game.
All right, Bucky Brooks, we appreciate it, man. Thanks a lot for the knowledge.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on, guys.
Thank you.
All right, it's the hottest radio game show in the country.
Man, I've won the last three, I think.
Bro. I think you're wrong. Is that true?
Yes.
Bro. No, it ain't.
Yes, it is. Bro. What are you talking about?
Sources say is next. It's the iCouple, Fox Sports Radio.
Rob Parker.